Well, I'll say this morning, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm a little bit excited because I'm coming up on another birthday. Next month, on October 15th, I'll be 27 years old. October 15th of 1981, I was reborn. So I'm looking forward to my birthday next month. But if you will, turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Acts. I'm going to share with you some scripture. I won't keep you a long time. That way, we'll have a little more time for the preaching before we go eat lunch. But it's a joy and a privilege to be here this morning. Been looking forward to it. Getting to be with a lot of old friends, maybe meet some new faces, get to be in church services Amen. Together and the fellowship that we're going to have. I've been excited about it, been looking forward to it.
Yep.
If you will, look in the book of Acts, chapter number 27. I want to eventually go over to chapter number 28, but I want to read some here in 27 first, starting with verse number 10. Just to give a little bit of background to the scripture I'm going to read. It says, Acts 27, verse number 10, the Bible says, And said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter, and the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and light toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had attained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, straight sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Now here he is telling them they're in the midst of all these storms, and a Euroclydon is one of the worst storms that you could ever imagine, the worst storm that you would want to get into. That's where the storms from all sides come together in one point, and it just causes a lot of damage. And here they are at this Euroclydon, and he stands up and he tells them to be of good cheer. Now he's already told them, you don't need to take this journey. It's not going to be safe. You shouldn't take this journey, but they didn't put the trust in him. So they went on, they went ahead and took the journey, and here it is, they're in the middle of it. And he says, And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life. And I'm glad that the way our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ takes care of us down here, I know that in this life I'm going to face many battles, I'm going to face many trials, many temptations. But I'm glad that I have my Savior on my side. I'm glad that He's always right there with me. The Bible said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. So I know He's always right there with me. But I got to thinking about this. Here He is. He's saying that there wouldn't be a loss of life. Just a ship. I'm looking forward to the day. I know one of these days my ship's going to be broken. This body is going to be broken in death. And one of these days I'm going to step over onto the shore spiritually, and I'll get to be with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know one of these days, this body's just going to break down, and this ship's going to be broken. It might get battered and bruised down here, but I'm glad that there's nothing that the devil can do to touch my soul. My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has that. But as we look at all of this that they're going through, if you look over in chapter number 28, starting with verse number 1, it says, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." Now, I want us to take a look at a certain part of the scripture right here. The Bible says that whenever he reached down to gather a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Now, we know that in the scriptures that the first time we saw the devil, he came out as a snake. We read that in the scriptures, and we see in many different places the devil represented as a snake. And we see that, and here it is. He reaches down for the sticks, and the viper comes out of the heat, and it clamps onto his arm. And they looked, and they said, "Surely, this man must be a murderer." And I want us to look at a couple of different vipers, and I'll be finished. The first one that we look at is the viper of your past. And that's what these barbarians here saw. They were looking at his past. They said, "Surely, this man must be a murderer." They were looking at what he was. And, you know, I got to thinking a long time ago, whenever I was younger, I got to thinking that I don't have a great testimony. I didn't grow up in a house that was full of sin. I didn't grow up as an alcoholic. I didn't grow up as a drug addict. I didn't grow up breaking the laws of the land, getting caught up, getting put in jail. I didn't grow up that way. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up with Christian parents that sought to raise me in the ways of God and put me in a Christian school. And I got to thinking, I don't have a great testimony. I got to hear people stand up and talk about that they used to be an alcoholic and God saved them from it and brought them out of it and put them in the middle of the church. I've heard testimonies of people stand up and say that they were drug addicts and God saved them, brought them out of the middle of it and put them in the church. But I'm going to tell you, I've got a great testimony because my God has kept me out of all of that. He's kept me out of the alcoholism. He's kept me from being a drug addict. But I'm going to tell you, there's vipers of your past. You might be working for God, and you might be in the church, and somebody might stand up and say, "I know that man used to be an alcoholic. I know that man used to be a murderer." And sometimes your past will come back to haunt you. Sometimes the devil will send that viper out to try to destroy you in your work for God. But what we have to do as he did here. Whenever that viper came out and bit him, what did he do? He shook it off. He shook that viper off whenever it came out and it bit him. So we've got to shake these vipers off whenever the devil comes our way and bites us by these vipers. And not only that, it's our peers. The viper of our peers, the people that we are around. The devil will try to tell you that you cannot survive in the workplace. The devil will tell you you cannot survive here. You can't survive there because of what you're surrounded by. The Bible tells me that he prepares a table in the presence of mine enemies. Don't let the devil tell you that just because of who you have to work with, that you can't work for God. A lot of times your peers, they'll nag you. A lot of times your peers will jump on you and bite you as that viper, and they'll try to get you to do things that you shouldn't do. But whenever those peers jump up and they bite you as that viper, we've just got to shake it off. We've got to look to God as the author and the finisher of our faith. We've got to look to him as the one that gives us our strength. And whenever the devil comes by and bites us in that viper, we just got to shake it off. We got to shake those vipers off. And one more viper that I want us to take a look at is our pet viper. A lot of you are walking by today and you've got a pet viper hanging off your arm. He's clamped a hold of you, but what you're doing, instead of shaking it off, you're petting. You're petting your pet viper. and you're allowing it to stay hold on to you. And by doing that, it's hindering you in the church service today. It's hindering you from being what you need to be in your church services at your church. By petting that viper that's held onto your arm, it's hindering you from being the man of God or the woman that you should be out in your workplace. It's hindering you by petting that viper. That your pet viper might be in your shirt pocket. It might be in your pants pocket. It might be in your television at your house. But I'm going to tell you, we've got a lot of pet vipers that we've allowed to hang on to. And we're just petting it. And it's allowing us to not be where we need to be. It's keeping us from being in the center of God's will. These pet vipers that we've got, we need to shake them off and get rid of them. And I want to close by saying this. Now, the Bible tells us to lay aside the sin and the weight. Your pet viper, it might not necessarily be a sin. But it's a weight that's hindering you from being what God would have you to be. We need to shake these vipers off. Now, whenever a viper comes up, or any snake, whenever it comes up and it bites you, whenever its fangs break through your skin, it pulls back a coating over those teeth. And what it does is that viper, whenever it first bites you, it does no harm. But once it squeezes, it pushes that venom out of its fangs. So the longer that you allow that viper to hang on to your arm, the longer you allow that viper to stay in your life, the more infected your bloodstream becomes. The more deterioration that it does to your body. The more deterioration that you're going to feel in your spiritual life, and the more deterioration that everybody that you come in contact is going to see. Because they're going to be able to see the damage that's being done by the pet vipers that you have allowed to hang on in your life. Now, it's going to leave a scar. It's going to leave a spot. But I'm going to tell you, once that devil bite hope, just shake it loose. Don't allow him to hang on. Don't allow him to sink that venom into you. Shake it off and get rid of it. Let's look unto God as the author and the finisher of our faith. Look to Him and put our faith in Him. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Put our faith and trust in Him and believe in Him and shake these vipers off, and He can take care of your life. He can take care of you spiritually, physically. We just need to trust in Him and shake these vipers off and get rid of these things. Now, if you come in today and you've got a viper held on to you, right here is the place to get that viper off of you. Don't continue in the service. Don't continue this weekend. Don't take it back to your church. But get rid of those vipers in your life today. Yeah.